kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, we adore you, we place none before you. God, we ask you just to come in and to this room, come into the midst, come into this hour of worshiping, this hour of serving, this hour of relating to you and getting your word to us, God. I get myself out of the way so that you might get me and hide yourself inside of me, hide your spirit inside of me. Let your spirit come out and show itself mighty, show itself strong, show itself powerful. God, I hide myself under your wings, under your shadow, so that you make it all of the glory, all the credit, and all the praise. God, I ask for somebody that is listening to this sermon, listening to these words, that I may encourage them and lift them up and allow them to go on and do what you have called them to do and be everything that you've called them to be, Father God, because we all have a purpose. We all have a plan. We all have a path in our lives. So allow me to be a help. Allow me to be a conduit to help somebody go along the way that you've designed for them to go. God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning, City Reach and the world. BK here again on my hiding secret location in my wife's office. But this time I have permission, sort of. She's here this time, so I'm not hiding it from her. So I'm okay. I'm good. I survived. I hope you guys enjoyed. Last week we talked about a hard reset. The word for this year for us is it's time for a hard reset. We need to relinquish everything out of our minds, out of our hearts, and out of our thoughts so that we can go in this new year and go into the what God has promised us with a new mind, with a new heart. We want to get rid of the Egypt out of our minds and get out of us, out of the Egypt, out of our hearts and out of our minds so that when we go into our promised land, we're not bringing old stuff with us. We're not bringing bondage. We're not bringing past sins. We're not bringing past gods and other things like that into what God has planned and promised us. So, and I gave you six steps to kind of free your mind. We talked about place yourself in an environment that helps you concentrate. Talk to God about what you're reading in the Bible when you pray. Don't fight distracting thoughts by trying to avoid them altogether. Choose a short phrase or sentence from the Bible and finding the time to pray and meditate that works for you and stay consistent with that time and to start small. So I gave you all those tips. And if you're anything like anyone think like me, it's like when you get those tips, okay, I'm going to start this year off right. I'm going to start it off fresh. I'm going to do better this year. And you start and you trip and you mess up, or you start and you forget and you mess up, or you start and you slip up and you mess up and you start. And it keeps like a cycle. You're starting and like you don't can't get really get a good start because it takes time to get that. Get yourself in gear. Get yourself going. It takes time to get yourself moving. And it seems like you're in a cycle that you're just going downward and when you should be going upward. And it's like a cycle you hit. You're like, and you cry out to God, help, I'm out of control. I can't seem to control myself. I can't seem to want to do right. I want to do right, but I just can't. I want to live better and I want to leave those thoughts and sins of Egypt in the past. And I want to leave those thoughts and habits in the past, but I just keep bringing it back up, where it keeps coming back up and overtaking me. God, I'm getting out of control. I need help. It's okay. God has a remedy for us because he knows how we are. He knows what the sin that overtakes us. He knows how we are on the inside because he's lived this with us. When Jesus was here on earth, he lived that with us. So he has a remedy, and it's in the word of God. Let's go look in the book of Romans, 7th chapter, starting with the 14th verse. I'm going to go out to the 24th, and it reads as this. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for what I want to do is what is right, but what I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law is good, that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And like I said, you want to do what's right. You want to do what God's called you to do. You're starting a new year out fresh, and you want to do what God's called you to do, but you call it slipping, and you're slipping in sin, or you find yourself doing wrong. You want to do right, but you do wrong all the time. You want to speak blessings over somebody, and they cut you off, and you end up cursing somebody. You want to do right, and you end up doing the wrong thing. And it's just like, before you even think about it, you're doing the wrong thing. And you realize it's not you. It's the sin that lives inside of you. And we're at a war daily with our flesh. We're in a war daily with our past and our habits and things we need help to get over. And so, like I said, what miserable person that I am. Who can free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Because you live a life of sin and leads to death. And you don't want to live that. I know I don't. So we want to live a life that's free. We want to live our life to get to what God has called us to, right? So we want to get to that greater reward that God has promised us. So it is, what is it that I'm missing? I'm missing. I got the word. I got the promise. I got the steps. But I just don't have what it takes on the inside to perform those steps. I don't have what it takes to walk those things out, that I can live a life free of sin. What is it that I'm missing? It's called discipline. Yeah, that's a tough word. It's a tough word, especially when you know it's not going to be pleasant. You know it causes you to give up something. It causes you to give up your right to be free. It causes you to give up purposely your right to do whatever you want, or do whatever feels right, or don't do whatever feels right. But here it is. Decision is choosing what you want most over what you want now. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. Do I want to lose that weight, or do I want those donuts? Do I want to live a life free of sin, or do I want to sleep with this person? Do I want to be live a life free of the past and free of mistakes that I've done in the past, or do I want to keep continuing on doing that habits that seem so comfortable and seems in my nature? And it takes discipline. It means I make the conscious choice to do what I want most, what you want most of your life, over what I want now. Because what you want now is just temporary. It's temporary. Once you take it, once you eat it, whatever you do it, it's done. Discipline means striving for that long-term goal, pressing towards the mark, pressing towards the price that God's called you to. It means giving up what you want right now for what you want the most. And that takes discipline. That takes telling your mind what to do. It's like a budget is basically telling your money what to do. A discipline is telling your mind what to do. Discipline your mind. Discipline your heart. Discipline how you react, and discipline how you think, and what you do throughout the day. Is you're telling your body what to do. I'm disciplining my body so that it behaves right. I discipline my body so that it does the thing that God has called it to do. And like I said, discipline isn't pleasant. When I said the word discipline at first, we all, shook in our heads and things like that, because it's not pleasant at first, but it's for the better, for our good. Hebrews 12 and 11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Nobody that wants to run a 5K race just gets up and run a 5K race without training. No person that wants to walk a mile just starts walking without training, without exercising, without training your body, without getting up and doing those exercises and stretches to do to make sure your body can attain the goal that it's trying to reach. Nobody that wants to get their MBA just does it. You got to train yourself. You got to train your mind. You got to go to school. You got to study. You got to put the books up and put the games down. You got to sacrifice those fun times with your friends and do those things that seems disciplined or seems hard right now. You have to give up some time. I got my MBA. I had to give up I got it over the executive program, so I had to do it over the weekends. And so my Saturdays for 4 years were taken away. But it's discipline. It takes time. It doesn't seem pleasant at first or while it's happening. But at the end, it's going to preserve. It's going to produce fruit. It's going to produce what God has called you to do. And it takes discipline. And here's the thing. Discipline is more than just your desires or dreams, because I can have a desire or a dream to have a six-pack abs and have a rocking body. But if I don't do the work, it's not going to mean anything. It's just a dream. Man, I had a dream that I had that, the Atlas body, and I was just like, just looking like The Rock, but if I don't get up and do the work, it's just a dream. And I'm like, Lord God, why can't I get that body if I'm not doing it? And it's like, maybe I'm not meant to be what God has called me to be. Maybe I'm not meant to have what God has called me to have. Maybe I'm not meant to live free. Maybe I'm not meant to walk into that promised land. Maybe why? Because I'm bad. And it leads you to a cycle of shame because you try hard and you rely on yourself and you can't do it by yourself. So try for a little bit and maybe work for a day or two or maybe a week and then your willpower weakens, like the donuts look so good. And it's like, oh, back to that cycle again. And then it leads to an inevitable failure. And then you eat the donut, it tastes good at the moment, but after a while it's like, man, I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have eaten that, and then what happens is after that you feel guilt and shame. And that's what the enemy wants you to feel, is guilty and shame, because he wants you to feel like you're less than. He wants you to feel that you're beneath. But God comes to make you a lender and not a barber. He wants you to make you above and not beneath. So the trick of the enemy is to get inside your mind and to get you into that cycle of shame, saying you're trying by yourself and you're trying and it doesn't work. So then your willpower weakens and then you end up inevitably failing. And then you're feeling guilty and you're feeling shamed. And then, I try again. You try. And then your willpower weakens and you fail again. And then you feel guilty. It's like a cycle, a bad cycle. It's like a cycle of shame. And you're stuck in that cycle of shame. And the enemy wants you to stay there. Because if you're stuck in that cycle, you're never going to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. But I come to give you help. I come to give you, put a light. I come to break that cycle. And the cycle stops right now with this message. You are alone or be stuck in the cycle. Right now over your life, you will no longer be stuck on a cycle of shame, and you're going to be learn that you belong to Christ and learn to belong to Jesus, and everything that Jesus touches is going to prosper. Yeah. Amen. So, you take that discipline, and discipline putting what you want now for what you want more, right? And a discipline means that you're being held accountable to someone greater than you. Discipline means being held accountable to someone or something greater than you. And the one we want to be greater than us is who can be greater than us is than Jesus, than God. You want to get on a workout plan. You want to get yourself in your body in shape. You get yourself disciplined. You go to a trainer and you're actually paying them money to discipline you, to make yourself accountable to them. And they're going to get on you. They're going to make you do those reps. They're going to make you do those sets. They're going to make you do those workouts. They're going to make you turn that plate down and put those candy bars down.
And it's you held yourself accountable to them. You can't do it by yourself. We are not here alone. We are here to help each other. Even if you have a walking partner, a walking buddy, you held yourself accountable. Even if you have a prayer partner, a prayer buddy, yes. You know, when you find yourself weak, you find yourself about to turn in or about to give in, call that prayer partner. So, look, I need help. Look, I need, I'm about to fall. I'm about to lose it. So, no, you can do it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're not a failure. You're not a quitter. Don't give up. Don't give up. I got your back. I'm here. I'm pulling for you. I'm calling you out. I'm pulling you up. Right? Discipline means putting yourself accountable to someone that is greater than you. And so we said this in the beginning. We read in Romans, the seventh chapter, but like that cycle. That's like, you know, I try to do this and I fail. I want to do right, but I do what's wrong. It's the sin that's inside of me. And in the 24th verse, it says, "Oh, what a miserable person that I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Here's the answer. Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is in my mind. I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So you know that I can't do this on my own. You can't do this on your own because your mind wants to obey God's law, but you're in a sinful nature. Your body just wars against that. Your body doesn't want to do what's right. So we're a slave to our body. We're a slave because you're stuck in our bodies. So, but the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so what you want to do is not really try to change our behavior, but we actually want to go a transformation. So it's not a behavior modification, but it's a spiritual transformation. So rather than if I know if our body is sinful, I can't change my body. But it's a spiritual transformation. So when I accept Christ into my heart and I allow the Holy Spirit to come into my life, allow the Holy Spirit to transform me from the inside out. It's a spiritual transformation that allows me to walk out my calling. If I govern myself by my spirit, by my spirit man that lives inside of me, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that or do this or don't say that. Go here, go there, rather than doing what my body wants to do, what my body feels is comfortable, which is sinful, which leads to death. Instead, I'm going to govern myself over my spirit. I command my mind to praise the Lord. I command my mouth to praise the Lord. I command my arms, my feet, my hands to do what God has called me to do. And it just transforms my mind, transforms my body from the inside out. It's a spiritual transformation. Romans, the 12th chapter, first verse, says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Read that second verse again. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think from the inside out. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You can be perfect, but it takes discipline. It takes a renewing of the mind, a spiritual transformation from the inside out. You don't start from the outside and you don't just buy new clothes and all of a sudden you look like you have a six-pack ab, you look like you're in shape. You start from the inside out. You work out and you do those things first. Then you can, it transforms from the outside and then it makes itself manifest on the outside. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you let the Holy Spirit guide your life, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. If you tell your body what to do by allowing your spirit man to tell your body what to do, I'm no longer this. I'm a transformed person. I'm a new man. I belong to Christ. I belong to Jesus. And I no longer am a sinful person by nature. I'm no longer this. I'm no longer a thief. I'm no longer a cheat. I'm no longer a liar or a backbiter, but I belong to Jesus. So I'm not depending on myself anymore. I'm depending on the Spirit, which is pure, which is perfect, which is what God desires from us from the beginning. So if I belong to Christ, I'm depending on the Spirit that lives inside of me, which means that builds my faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I, depending on my Spirit, I'm not depending on myself, it builds my faith. And what that does, that empowers right actions. So by faith, I'm going to do the right things. And when you empower the right actions, that brings you closer to God. And then you draw yourself closer to God. It also brings you back to His Spirit that lives inside of you. And then the Spirit builds your faith. And then your faith empowers right action. And that leads to bringing you closer to God. And again, right, but that's the cycle. I belong to Jesus. I'm depending on His Spirit. It builds my faith, empowers right action, and brings me closer to God. And you see how that works? So rather than worrying about starting with yourself or relying on yourself, you're relying on the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside. And listen to what God has to say. If you're depending on your Spirit, His Spirit, and it builds your faith, and then it empowers right actions. You do the right things, and it brings you closer to God. So you depend on your Spirit, it builds your faith, empowers right actions, and brings you closer to God. And before you know it, you're doing what God has called you to be, doing what God has called you to do from the beginning. And you can walk into that destiny. You can walk into that promised land. You won't be stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. You won't be stuck banished from your destiny. You will be able to do what God has called you to do and more. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." The law was written for different sins, but the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It produces fruit, much fruit. I'll say the fruit again. Fruit of the Spirit is our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and that all-important self-control. I control myself. The Holy Spirit controls me. The Holy Spirit controls myself. And that after that, you know that there's no law against those things. If you live by the Spirit and His fruit comes out of you, and you just, you walk in and you can walk by the Dunkin' Donuts. You can walk by the donut shop like, I don't even feel like right now. I don't have a taste for that. Thank you, Jesus. You walk by the bar and it's like, I don't feel like even going in. Thank you, Jesus. You walk by those women. I don't even see them over there. You walk in and you go to home to your wife. Thank you, Jesus. You go to your husband. Thank you, Jesus. You do what God has called you to do. Thank you, Jesus. Because God, that fruit of self-control is in full effect. And it's blooming like never before. And so because I belong to Jesus, and empowering myself means trying to be more like Him. So rather than trying to be more like Tony Atlas, trying to be more like the Hulk, or trying to be more like The Rock, I want to be like Jesus rather than a fictional character. Because you belong to Him, empowering myself means I'm trying to be more like Him. It's about identity, because identity drives actions. Actions create results. And then more than what you want the most, decide who you want to become. More than what you want the most, decide who you want to become. So rather than I want to be more like Christ. And His fruit comes along with that. His blessings come along with that. His joy comes along with that. His peace comes along with that. His patience comes along with that. If I want to be more like Christ, you'll get those blessings. You'll get those things that you desire, because God's Spirit resides in you if you choose Him to. You have the choice. We are free moral agents. God created us with the design to do what, let allow our minds to control us, allow our minds to do what we want to do, the things that we're doing. We're not animals. We don't operate by instinct. We don't, you know, you put a dog, it's going to chase after a cat or whatever. You put a lion, it's going to chase after food. But a man, we have the choice to choose what we the things that we do. So who we should be able to choose life or choose death, choose those things that lead to death or choose those things that lead to life. So rather than choosing the things you want, choose who you want to become. More than famous, more than rich, I want to be more like Christ. And those blessings, which is beneficial blessings that come along with that, which is God will put those things inside of you, on top of you, and you get blessed and you won't even have room to receive it. And you end up being a blessing to everybody else. And you even be more blessed than you can even think or even imagine. Imagine that. This time next year, you could be better than wherever you even thought. If instead of choosing what to do or what to become, choosing who to become. If I choose to be like Christ, then there's no telling what 2021 is going to be for me. Let's make that choice. Let's do that thing together. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We come to what I call the ABCs of salvation. A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If we declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." It's just that simple, the ABCs of salvation. Acknowledge or admit, believe, and confess. Let's pray this prayer together to allow Christ to come into our hearts and the Holy Spirit to reign inside of us so that we can accomplish the things that we have accomplished by being just like more like Christ. Repeat after me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen." Amen. Listen, I want to get in contact with you. I want to communicate with you. I want to work this thing out together. I want to be your accountability partner. I need your accountability too. I need your help too. So we all need each other. I need you to text the word "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word "all in" to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you all. For real. God bless you. Have a great day.